So I hope you had a good week. I can say that I feel like after having COVID a number of weeks ago, I am back to full strength, so praise God for that. And again, I want to praise God that no one who had it was fairly limited contact during my time, but mostly my family and a few others, no one got COVID as a result of that, so praise God for that. And I am thankful for immune systems that help us fight infection and give us memory so that our immune system is ready to battle should it come again. We are in the short series called Fullness of Time, taking from the passage in Galatians chapter 4, where Paul says in verse 4, "But when the fullness of time has come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoptions of sons and daughters." Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for your word and for your faithfulness. Father, we just want to freely confess that we are not in and of ourselves able to really know and perceive all that you want us to grasp. And so we ask that your Spirit would be here this morning, that you would speak to each heart. You know my needs. You know the needs of each brother and sister that's here this morning. And I just ask that your Spirit would speak directly and minister directly to those specific needs. Through your word, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. The fullness of time that Paul talked about, the word, the Greek word there is pleroma, the completion or completely full. And no doubt we spoke last week that Paul understood about the prophetic timeline given in Daniel chapter 9 that spoke of the coming Messiah, that actually pinpointed from the rebuilding of the temple in 457 B.C., the decree to rebuild the temple and to the coming Messiah was outlined in what's called a 70-week prophecy. And if the year-day principle is applied, it reached all the way down to 490 days or years, which brought to the time of Christ. And just before Christ was to appear on the scene, before Christ was to appear on the scene through his ministry, which is what the prophecy pinpoints that timing, and it even pinpoints the year of his death. But before he was to do that, he had to do something first, and that was to be born. So there was preparation to take place. Last week we talked about how the angel Gabriel came to Zechariah to prepare the way for Zechariah and Elizabeth, who would then give birth to John, that would be the forerunner to the Messiah. And the angel Gabriel was no coincidence. You know, the angel Gabriel, specifically by name, is only mentioned in two places in the Bible. The first place is in the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 8 and 9. It's no coincidence that it's the angel Gabriel that came to give Daniel the understanding of the prophetic visions that pinpoint the time of Messiah. And now, 500 years later, he is sent on a mission that we discovered last week to go to Zechariah in the temple. And the angel Gabriel appears specifically, named in the book of Luke, appearing to Zechariah. And this week, we're going to look at how he appeared to the maiden, to Mary, to the Virgin Mary, who was betrothed to Joseph. 500 years later, he goes to Zechariah. And then it says in our passage this morning in Luke chapter 1, and I invite you to turn there with me, and that's where we're going to spend the remainder of our time this morning in his word. Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 26. And I'm going to just read the passage, and then we will talk about it. So now, Luke chapter 1, verse 26 says, "Now in the 6th month," that 6 months is referring to the 6 months of Elizabeth's pregnancy. We just got done talking about Elizabeth. Now she's with child. And it says, "Now in the 6 months of Elizabeth's pregnancy, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city in Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, 'Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women.' But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end.' Then Mary said to the angel, 'How can this be, since I have not known a man?' And the angel answered and said to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the 6th month for her who was called barren. For with God nothing will be impossible.' Then Mary said, 'Behold, the maiden, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to the word.' And the angel departed from her. Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to the city of Judah and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greetings of Mary that the babe leapt in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, 'Blessed are you among women. Blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ear, the babe leapt in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believes, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord.'" In Luke, it goes on and gives the song of Mary. It is often called the Magnificat, the prayer or song of Mary. Verse 56, after she speaks, it says that Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her house. So think about this. Let's think about this for a little bit this morning. The angel Gabriel sent specifically. Can you imagine how excited the angel Gabriel was? We spoke last week to come and be the bearer of the news, to tell Zacharias about the forerunner, to tell him about his son, and now to be able to have the task, the privilege to come to the one that God had chosen to be the one who gives birth to the Messiah, the one to whom God, Jesus, the pre-incarnate Jesus, is reduced to a single cell inside Mary's womb. She was the one that would carry the child. She had to be special. Not special in some supernatural way, but special in that she was committed to follow God. Someone who was faithful. He needed someone who would have faith to believe and to allow this to actually happen. Did you ever think of the fact that Mary could have said no? She could have said no. God knew the heart of this young girl. And the angel appears to her. He comes to Nazareth. Now, Nazareth in that time, Nazareth was very small. All we really know from the Bible itself is the comment, speaking of Jesus, what good, you know, can anything good come out of Nazareth, right? That's all that we really know. We know it wasn't a big place, and we know from archaeology that it was actually a very small little, we could use the word hamlet. It was situated in a basin with hills around it. It was not on the main road. If you wanted to go to Nazareth, you had to go on a specific trail, we would say today, off the beaten path. And it was probably terraced farming, probably started with a few families that started a community, and it wasn't big. When we think of the word, can anything good come out of Nazareth, sometimes we think that it was a fairly seedy place. And maybe there was something to that. But I think for sure it was a small place. So what important thing can come out of Nazareth? And we've made this point before in other stories and other messages that God doesn't need something big from a big city, or from a big family, or from an important thing to do something very, very great. You don't have to feel bad about being part of a small church, because God can do great things in a small church, in a small community. And this is how it was for Nazareth. And God told Gabriel, go to Nazareth. And I want you to talk to Mary and give her the news. And Gabriel's heart, knowing what's coming, knowing the Messiah is coming, knowing what's happening, do you know that Gabriel and Jesus, the pre-incarnate Christ, before he became one with us, were good friends? I mean, Gabriel was now the one next to the throne of God, probably took the place of Lucifer when Lucifer fell. And so Gabriel, right next to the throne of God, for sure, in heaven, when sometime in eternity past, as man sinned and God and Jesus and the Father talked and were in council together and decided that Christ would come, the angels, I'm sure, stepped up. Pick me, I'll go, you shouldn't go, I'll go instead of you. Gabriel was probably one of those. And so it was probably with some mixed feeling, not wanting to see the Son of God, Christ, the pre-incarnate Christ, to come and put himself at great risk. But he comes to the maiden, Mary. How old do you think she was? The typical age in that time when a woman, and today we would say a girl, a young girl, is betrothed was 13. We don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us how old Mary was, but if she was betrothed to Joseph, who was probably somewhat older, it was typically the case. She was somewhere between 13 and 17. We don't know exactly, but picture it. An angel is going to appear. Picture your daughter or granddaughter or you when you were 13 or 14 or 15 and an angel appears to you. And mind you, she had to be one who was very devoted to God, had a faithfulness to God. One that would be open, that the angel could even appear without her running away in abject fear. And the angel appears to her. And says this, "Rejoice, highly favored." The Lord had favor on her. She was one that had a heart towards God. She said, "The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." Now, the word blessed in this encounter occurs over and over and over again. And sometimes the word blessed is misinterpreted theologically in some Christian circles to make out Mary to be something supernatural. But the word blessed that's used here, there's two actually Greek words. This one is about basically blessed word. Basically a blessing. The angel was giving her a blessing. Like a prayer. Like a consecrated prayer to her. Blessed. Blessing on you. But when she saw him, it says, the Bible says, she was troubled at his saying. You notice, Zacharias was troubled at the appearance. Mary was troubled at the word. It's like, why are you referring to me this way? Mary didn't see herself in some special way. And I will say that the closer and closer you and I come to God, the less and less special we will see ourselves in our own sight. This was Mary. We call this humility. Mary did not see herself, and so she was taken aback. Why all this platitude? Why all this saying things about me? And the angel said to her, the same thing that he said to Zacharias and that he said to angel encounters to any human. Fear not. Do not be afraid. For you have found favor with God. And then the angel drops the bombshell. Think of how old she is again. It was a completely different age. But he says, you will conceive in your womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Highest. You know, ever since the fall in the garden, since Eve, every daughter of Eve knew of the promise as it was passed on, as it was given there in the garden. Every daughter of Eve, and then certainly every daughter of Israel, who were also daughters of Eve, were looking to know if maybe the Messiah was going to be from them. Mary was not expecting that she would be the one. But she knew exactly what the angel Gabriel was saying, the Messiah, the promised one from way back then when first given to Eve in Genesis 3:15, the promise of a coming one that would bring salvation to the world. And he will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, or of his kingdom there will be no end. It reminds me of Isaiah 9, 6, and 7. Of his kingdom there will be no end. For unto us a child is born, it says in Isaiah. And Mary probably echoed these words or recalled these words. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government in peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom. Echoing the angel, basically repeating or echoing the words of Isaiah in the promise that was given of the coming Messiah. It reminds me of the words in Daniel, when the prophecy of Daniel chapter 2, verse 44, Daniel telling King Nebuchadnezzar the interpretation of this dream, of this image, he speaks of the same kingdom that will stand forever and ever. And Mary doesn't, it's interesting the question that she asks next. She didn't ask, what, me? Or, no, this couldn't be. Or, none of that came forth. She asked a biological question. Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I do not know a man? She was betrothed to Jesus. How do we know Mary was a virgin? Well, she told the angel, I have not been with a man. How do we know Mary was a virgin? Because when she got pregnant, Joseph was going to give her up. Because at that point, Joseph thought she was no longer a virgin. And the angel had to come to him and explain to him. And he believed. How can it be, since I do not know a man? She was asking logistical question of how this could happen. And so the angel gave her a biological answer that extended beyond the natural biology that you and I know of, and spoke to the supernatural of what God was going to do. He said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. This is going to be the work of God to implant this embryo in your body. Now, there's no specific talk about how this actually happened. There's no description of where the DNA came from. We are given genealogies of Mary and Joseph in the Bible, in both Luke and Matthew. And so we are given the impression that Jesus is a genetic descendant of Mary. Where the DNA came from and how God actually did it is pure speculation on our part. We know that the Jesus himself became one with humanity and was fully God. And we know that he became one with humanity and became fully man. That is not something that we can explain naturally. This is where divinity and some supernatural, we have to just say, wow, how did you do that? We don't know actually how it happened. Some videos or some portrayals of this have like this glow that happens to Mary. We don't even know how Mary knew or when she knew she was pregnant. We can say this: she knew. We would know when she missed her period. She would know when she started having signs. Whether she felt or knew this encounter happened, or the exact moment, we don't know. The Bible doesn't speak to this. And the angel Gabriel, when he tells her that the Holy Spirit is going to come upon her, the Most High is going to overshadow her, the Holy One is to be born and called the Son of God. Now indeed, then he says, Elizabeth, your relative. He throws in this information. Think a bit, if you're 13, 14, 15, 16, and this is happening to you, would you have questions? You would have questions. How do I know? And he tells her of Elizabeth, who is a relative of hers, who they knew, their family knew. She couldn't get pregnant. She was barren. She had that curse and carried that burden all her life. The angel then tells her, reveals to her that she is with child 6 months now. And then the angel tells her the most important piece of information for Mary. This was the most important piece of information for Zechariah and Elizabeth. And this is the most important piece of information for you and I today. For with God, nothing will be impossible. God will provide. It echoes back to so many Bible stories that end in that same way. Specifically, I'm thinking of Abraham as he brings Isaac up the mountain, coming to offer the sacrifice of which he's told that he's going to sacrifice his son, in which he just kept telling his son, who is asking, where is the offering? He just said, God will provide. God will provide. And in fact, for Abraham, God did provide and had a ram in the thicket for him to sacrifice. And Mary's answer was simply this: behold the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. You know, Luke 18, verse 17 says, Jesus' words say this: assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter in. I think these words, thinking of this encounter of this young woman with the angel, and her response at the end of this, let it be to me according to your word, I see no greater description of what it means to receive the kingdom of God as a little child. And that's the only thing that works. That is the only way to receive the kingdom of God, Jesus says. And this is what Mary did. And this is what we must do. But just because Mary then has this encounter with an angel does not mean that it doesn't come without cost. Oh, it came with cost. Whether she processed all of the cost and all of the ramifications at that time completely, I don't know, but she had time to process and to experience what was to follow. And the angel, the Bible says, then the angel departed. Can you imagine what those moments were like when the angel departed? When that intimate encounter with God had passed? When that direct message from God to the heart of Mary had gone? And now in the quietness of her own mind, she was thinking of what this meant, and perhaps even, could this be true? And the Lord didn't leave her without something to give evidence. We have high moments with God. We have high intimate experiences with God. But what is it like when the dust settles and that high experience is gone? Well, this is what Mary did. She immediately, based on the word of God, followed what he said. Elizabeth, your relative, is with child. She was barren and now she has a child. I'm going to go see. I'm going to go see Elizabeth. She'll know. So she goes to Elizabeth and she travels immediately. And this is 6 months into Elizabeth's pregnancy. And then Mary stays there 3 months. Till she's about ready to deliver. And by that time, Mary is starting to show. As a matter of fact, when Mary went to Elizabeth, Elizabeth's baby, John, at 6 months, was really about the same age and size as my twins were when they were born. It's crazy to think. So Mary shows up to Elizabeth before Mary says anything to Elizabeth except, "Hey, Elizabeth." She hasn't told her about the encounter with the angel. She hasn't told her that she is pregnant with the Messiah. And maybe she doesn't even know for sure yet. Maybe she hasn't even missed her first period. She appears to Elizabeth, and Elizabeth spontaneously prompted, God giving evidence to Mary, prompted to say, John leapt in her womb. Why would John leap in his womb, in her womb, when she appeared? Remember, we read that John was filled with the Holy Spirit even from the womb. Influenced by the Holy Spirit, the child John leaps in her womb. Not just a movement or a kick, but something of much more significance that Elizabeth would make note of it. And she tells her, "Blessed are you to be the mother of my Lord. Why do I deserve this privilege?" Elizabeth basically tells her what the angel told her. Elizabeth knows because the Holy Spirit is giving her this. God is giving faith, building, I shouldn't say building, reinforcing the faith that Mary had already, growing it, affirming it. And so Mary, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, the thing shall be established. In the witness of the angel Gabriel, in the witness of Elizabeth and Zechariah, who told the story of how the angel appeared to Zechariah 6 months before. Affirming the faith. God will not do anything. He will affirm faith. And sometimes we think even in our own life, we're kind of common. This isn't the incarnation series. This isn't Mary and Joseph and Zechariah and Elizabeth and John the Baptist. This is just us. But let me tell you, God has that same intentionality, that same care, that same attention to detail that He wants to affirm faith in us. If you're not sure, just ask Him. Just ask Him. And He will affirm His presence and His working in your life to you. The baby leapt with joy, and then it says, Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, given the gift of prophecy, tells Mary of her pregnancy before she shared her encounter with the angel. And she confirmed her own pregnancy to Mary, as the angel told Mary, all confirming her faith. And she said, blessed are you. This blessed isn't like a blessing. This blessed is like fortunate or happy. Happy are you. You should be. You are a happy person. You are a fortunate person. Blessed is she who believes, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. There is only one thing that would have prevented Mary to be the mother of our Lord. And it would have been unbelief. It would have been failure to believe what the Lord said. It was by faith Mary became the mother of our Lord. And then the Bible goes through and, tells this song that Mary says, and she says, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior." You know, the word Jesus, the name Jesus, it means Jehovah is salvation. She knew the connection of Messiah to salvation. She knew that God had to be her Savior. She understood her need of a Savior, and she pronounced God as her Savior. And she understood God, who regards the lowly state. She sees herself in this humble, lowly state, coming from this little town of Nazareth, where nothing good can come out of it. And when it says, "Henceforth all nations and all generations will call me blessed," the word blessed here, again, is fortunate. How fortunate for Mary to have the opportunity to receive Jesus and bring him to birth. And so by now, Mary was 3 months pregnant, and Elizabeth is about to do, and she excuses herself and has to go home to Nazareth while she's now showing. And she has to go face mom and dad and explain to them. And I'm sure her and Elizabeth had talks many nights on how this was going to happen and how this exchange was going to happen. She was going to have to explain to Joseph. And Joseph had every right in that time to have her stoned. To be betrothed to someone and then to have been with someone else. And they would have to believe this story about the angel. "Well, the angel came to me, and the angel came to Elizabeth." And they would all be saying, "Yeah, Mary." And then remember, this wasn't a big town, so she had to not only go back to mom and dad and to Joseph, she had to go back to the small town where everyone talks and everybody knows. So her difficulties, she had to, by faith, believe that God would make a way. That God would help her parents understand. That God would help Joseph understand. And there's the story of the dream of Joseph that clarifies, and Joseph receives her and doesn't put her away, even quietly. He receives her as his wife and receives the child as his, and he believes that this is going to be the Messiah that Mary is going to give birth to. Last week we talked about the application of John the Baptist as a forerunner, and realized and recognized that as people, just before Jesus comes, God is trying to raise up forerunners, and has done that in the Advent movement. He wants to do that with you and me, to be part of a forerunner to prepare a people for the coming of Christ. And that was John's purpose then, and that is the Advent movement's purpose now, to prepare people for the return of Jesus. In like manner, this story of Mary has a similar application, can have a similar application to us. Mary was the maiden, the virgin betrothed to Joseph. She was asked to receive Christ within her as a single cell, to bring up, to raise up within her, and to give birth to the Messiah. Well, in like manner, God has a church. The church in the Bible is often referred to as a woman, and specifically as a virgin, a pure woman. God has a virgin bride that he calls his church, and the desire is that his bride, his maiden, would receive him within. Not to grow up as a birth, but we're thinking of gospel passages like Galatians 2, which says, I am crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Can we receive Christ in the same way that Mary received him so freely and openly? That's the question for us. It's interesting, there's a parable in the New Testament that Jesus talks about the five wise and the five foolish virgins. The five wise are the ones who allow him in, like Mary, who receive Christ within. And the five foolish are those who keep him without. So the invitation this morning as we conclude, I know that Leif and Holly are going to do a closing song for us and then a benediction. But as we approach that time, the invitation to us this morning is, will I, like Mary, open our hearts to allow the living Christ to come and live in you today? Are you willing? Are we willing to say with complete confidence and belief, let it be to me according to your word? The world is broken. There's brokenness all around us in our world and in society. And there's all kinds of ways to try to heal this brokenness. It's tried to be done with education. We try to heal brokenness by redistribution. We try to heal brokenness by capitalization. There's all kinds of ways that the world is trying to respond to this visible brokenness within our world. But any cursory review of history will tell you that none of these things can fix our brokenness. There is only one thing that can heal our brokenness, and that is a Savior. And with God, all things are possible. Can we, like Mary, say, God, my Savior, acknowledge Him as our Savior today? Can we acknowledge the humble realities of our own life? I'm broken. Please fix me. I'm lost. Please guide me. I'm trapped. Please free me. Is that your desire this morning? Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the gift that you gave us by sending your only Son. Father, we can grasp that idea and that concept, but to realize actually what happened, what it meant to you, Father, what it meant to Christ, what it meant to the heavenly realm, the universe, to have one from heaven, Christ, the Creator, to step into humanity and to become with us. Oh, that we would grasp that more and more. Of all realities, Father, we know this, that we are a people in great need. We are a world in great need. and you are the solution. We just ask this morning, Father, that you would come in. We ask that you would have free access to each of our hearts. And as freely as Mary received the beckon and the invitation from heaven, may we receive it just as freely and fully now, we pray. In Christ's name.